Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to the Life Coach Radio Network and Life Coach Chat Super Soul Sunday. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Mandy Rosniak of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm happy to be your host today. And I'll be joined with fellow coaches Tim Billiter of DIY for Your Soul and Carrie Spaulding, the 30-something coach. We'll be discussing the themes and concepts presented today in the interview between Indy RE and Oprah, who needs no last name, from her Super Soul Sunday show today. But before we get into all that, and I know we're going to have a great discussion today because we were just talking a few minutes before we went live here, I'd like our listeners to know if they have a question or comment, they can call in at 646-716-9397. Again, that's 646-716-9397 if you'd like to call in with any questions or comments. So before we get started, we're going to take a few minutes to learn a little bit about our coaches that are with us today so we can let the listeners know a little bit about yourself, your coaching business, how they can get in touch with you after the show, ways to contact you, and all that fun stuff. So, Tim, if we could get started with you and let us know something about yourself.
Hey, how are you, Mandy? Sorry about that. I was caught off guard for a second. I am Tim Billiter. I am a life purpose coach based in New York City. You can find me at DIYforYourSoul.com. That's my website. And I am what I consider myself is a foundational coach. And what I mean by that is that I'm not really the person that you want to come to if you're wanting just to learn a simple skill or something. I really like that inner work, and my goal is to sort of help people to figure out what's underneath everything that's keeping you from having the life that you want to have. How do we figure out, you know, what are those things that are keeping you from moving forward, from making the decisions that you want to make, to simply build a foundation for yourself so that when it is time to create sort of the house of your dreams or the life of your dreams, you're building it off of a really strong foundation.
And how can our listeners get a hold of you after the show?
They can get a hold of me at my website, which is DIYforYourSoul.com, DIYforYourSoul.com. They can email me at info@DIYforYourSoul.com. They can follow me on Twitter, which is Tim Billiter or @TimBilliter. That's how you get a hold of me.
Well, it's great, and I've worked with Tim several times now, so I know we'll have a lot of good stuff to share with you. And today, I'm working with Carrie for the very first time. And so, Carrie, let us know a little bit about yourself so the listeners can know how to know about you and how to reach you after the show.
Thanks, Mandy. It's great to be here. So I'm Carrie Spaulding, and I'm the 30-something coach calling in from Philly. So what I do is I help 30-somethings who are not where or who they thought they'd be with their careers, relationships, and lives. So often my clients are experiencing 30-something panic and feeling like they should have figured it all out by now. So what I do is I help them use that panic as a catalyst to create what they want in their lives. And sometimes that involves navigating big transitions like career changes or breakups or big moves. And I also help 30-somethings create and nurture healthy and satisfying relationships. And another passion of mine is helping parents and educators with communication and helping their kids navigate social and emotional challenges and creating a positive school-home culture. So you can reach me, you can check out my website at www.carriespaulding.com. My name is spelled CarrieSpaulding.com, or you can email me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com.
Well, that's great, and you know, you talk about the 30-something the piece, and I think it's a great feature to have, and try to figure our lives out, right? Well, I'm very excited to be here again on Super Soul Sunday and to share a bit about myself. I'm Mandy Rosniak of Inner Winning Coaching, and I'm a peak performance and life leadership coach. I primarily work with athletes, and what I do is I help them maximize their potential by trying to quiet that negative self-talk, those doubts and fears that are always popping up in their heads, so that they can stop holding themselves back from being their best. We focus a lot on boosting that strong sense of self and belief in that inner greatness that they can bring out everything that they have to share, both on and off the field. We do this through personal and leadership development, and I basically talk about we train the brain to up their game so that they can excel both on and off the field. Because so many times when people think about athletes, they only think about their performance and wins and losses and all that stuff. Yet there's so much more that gets in the way of that. And usually it's the stuff that's going on upstairs that's either going to make or break them to be able to do their best. So that's the work that I do. And ways that you can reach me is my website is coachmandy.com. My email is mandy@coachmandy.com. And I also have a Twitter feed, which is @LifeCoachMandy, and also on Facebook at Inner Winning Coaching. So I'm very excited today about our topic from the standpoint of, you know, we were talking before the show that one of the things when you do Super Soul Sunday is you kind of don't know what topic you're going to be getting when we set the dates for doing these shows. So it was a little interesting because I didn't know anything about NDRE. She's not an artist that I follow or anything. And, getting ready to, you know, watch the show, I'm like, oh, what am I going to learn here today? But I think the thing we always have to understand is as long as we're open to everything, there's so much you can learn. And I thought there was just so many great things and points and topics that got brought up that I think we're going to have quite a bit to talk about today, probably more than we're going to be able to cover in this hour. So we're hoping to be able to share lots of little thoughts, feelings, and, you know, nuggets with you guys so that we can have a very enlightened conversation. But before we get into that, I'd just like to, again, remind the listeners that if they want to call in or have a question or comment, the number is 646-716-9397. So in that, now as we're, you know, moving forward, and watching the show and everything, Tim, was there anything specific or point that really sort of jumped out for you or resonated with you? Because, again, there was so much great sharing that was being take place. Was there anything specific that maybe jumped out for you that you'd like to start off with and share with the audience?
I think that, for me, the point, the overall point, was just how human beings get in our own way. How we get all of these mental constructs and these ideas and our beliefs, and we're so stuck with them, and we are so, we're so unwilling to look at anything other than what we've already decided it's supposed to be in advance, that we keep ourselves from actually experiencing all that life has to offer us and all the things that could bring us to, such heights of growth. Simply because we refuse to, let go of what we think we already know. You know, this was a two-part show, and last week they had, at the end of the show, which wasn't even really anything about the interview itself, but it's so tied in, they had the little thing about the farm animals, and the guy was talking about the little lambs and how the little lambs were, when they're born, they instinctively know how to get up and walk, how to go find their mother's teat, how to, you know, there's all these things that they know. And he made this comment that I thought kind of summed up everything that it was about. It's like human beings are the only animals that refuse to use our own instincts.
And that's such a great point. And I know we've talked that we really want to dive into that because it's just so much great stuff. And I definitely want us to, we're going to come back to that for sure. And go back there. And I just want to give Carrie a chance to let her share with us if there was anything specific that stood out for you.
Yeah, well, so many things. But, you know, I think that the thing that really stood out for me the most was this idea toward the beginning of the hour, and Yari talked about that there had been all of these things that she'd always been trying to avoid happening, all these things that she'd been scared of happening. And there's something really amazing about that time when everything you're scared of happening happens, and how that is a gift. So that, you know, this moment for her was a real tipping point where we suddenly have to accept that we're ultimately out of control on some level. And the irony, of course, is that that moment of realizing we really are out of control is sometimes the moment that can ultimately help us get to a place where we feel more grounded. You know, I think one of the greatest gifts that we can ever have is the belief that we'll handle it, right? But, and as Oprah was saying, it's always going to be all right. But when we can know that no matter what comes in front of us, even if everything we're terrified of comes to be, we'll handle it.
No, absolutely. I was one of the last little pieces of notes that I know I wrote down about that. And it's almost also as if you're saying, it's almost as if you're trying to, it's about that manifesting your destiny, what we fear we materialize, what we try to avoid happening seems to be what happens, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, such great stuff. There was such great stuff that came in. Because I know for myself, one of the things that really resonated for me was, I think she basically said something about telling the truth and how you show up. So that if you're not living that full truth, it's hard for you to be fully seen and fully present. Because you're not allowing yourself to just be and be okay with all of you. It's like that saying, there's like a quote out there or something that says, you know, you don't have to have a good memory if you never lie. And I sort of feel it's the same thing about, you know, living your truth. Because you don't have to remember anything. You don't have to filter anything. You don't have to, you know, try to remember who you were with this person and how you were with that person. You just are. You just end up showing up and you just be, and you know, you walk your walk every day, and you know, I know it's a difficult lesson to learn and to stay in, because I think so many people, you know, we have different masks that we wear based on whether it's work life, personal life, friends, but that was a piece for me that just really, really stood out. It was just about telling the truth, and because it resonates with so much about just how you're showing up to the rest of the world.
Mandy, and you know, Indy already said something about, she said there's always, I'm paraphrasing, but there's always that part of you that wants to give the right answer versus the true answer. And
right.
I think that comes up for all of us, especially when we have done some personal development work, when we've done the work to sort of get to the point of really knowing what we want to live into and how we want to be and how we want to show up. We can kind of, you know, as my mom always says, we should all over ourselves with, you know, what we should be feeling or saying or being. And I think it takes a lot of courage to speak the truth as it is sometimes rather than as you'd like it to be.
Yeah, and, you know, just to jump in on this sort of string of conversation, we can create the life we want, but we have to live the life we have. So you don't get to live the life you want. You get to work towards the life you want. You have to live where you are. And, you know, there's so many people that don't like what they have, and then they try and push it all away. You know, and one of the things, the notes that I took from the show, from the second show, was, you know, to change something, you have to accept it first. You have to surrender to it. And, you know, so many of us refuse to do that because we don't like it. But we can never move forward because by trying to push it away or denying it or whatever, we become prisoners of it. It now has its hold over us instead of us having our hold over it.
But I think that that also speaks right back to what you started with about how we get in our own way, and we don't follow our instincts, and we, you know, we do these things. I think you just brought up a really great point about the whole concept and this whole, you know, we all want to, there's this, like, mystery life, or there's this, like, fantasy life that we all think we want to be living, and that we're always searching for, chasing after, trying to find the answers to get us to there, and yet we forget about being in the moment of where we are here and now, and that's I think, where so many people just get so off track, and she mentioned it also about in that searching for something, she just really got... she got lost and realized that she had, there was a piece she talked about in regards to, you know, having millions of dollars and still couldn't get herself out of bed or drink a glass of water because she was so you know, she had allowed everything to just get so off track.
Yeah, and Mandy, that raised such an interesting question of, you know, how do you define success? Because, what, you know, she talks about living a life that many people would sort of buy into as obvious success. And, you know, some of the work that I end up doing with my clients is really about helping them create their own definition of success, right? And that it might not be the same definition that you were raised with or that you're seeing around you or that matches up with somebody else's.
Yeah, and Oprah actually sort of talked about this. She was in one of the tape pieces. She was talking about the quest for success overtaking your true purpose. We get so caught up in what society says or what everybody thinks success is that we actually lose what our purpose here is. So if your purpose is to make music, that doesn't necessarily mean your purpose is to be a celebrity and to be, you know, as big as, you know, Lady Gaga or Maroon 5 or whomever is your person that you really love. You know, if your purpose is to make music, it's to make music. And sometimes success gets in the way of actually your purpose.
Absolutely, and it's great that, Carrie, you jumped on that, too, because that's one of the things I wrote down was, you know, definition of success. And one of the things I know she said was for clarity, for her, she defined it as clarity of your intention. But it's really interesting because I also, in working with the athletes, defining success is a huge, huge piece that we work on because when you're an athlete, so much of your success, or at least the premise is that your success is defined by whether you win or lose. You know, what's the first question somebody always says? Well, did you win today? And if you didn't win, you know, there's that sense of almost shame that you don't want to share the fact that you didn't win because if you didn't win, there must be something wrong with you. And, you know, this whole vicious circle that starts in regards to defining success. And I think it's something that isn't something we explore personally enough on a regular basis or that we have a very clear piece because, again, like she said, for her, she discovered it was getting clear with her intentions because, again, success, it's having the big house, it's having the, you know, money in the bank, it's the right kind of car. That's what so many people define as success, and yet then they have it, and they're miserable. So to me, there's obviously a disconnect to what someone's definition of success is, and when they end up in that place where they supposedly have everything they thought they ever wanted, and yet they don't feel any sense of purpose, any sense of happiness, or anything like that.
And Mandy, actually, you know, it's interesting too because something that just came up for me listening to you and Tim's comment is the relationship between sort of coming into your own definition of success and judgment. And she talked, and you already talked about her tendency to judge people who have a different definition, right? Or who, you know, she talked about particular performers who didn't necessarily ascribe to the same value system. And I'm really curious what experiences or what thoughts you have about that relationship between, you know, getting really clear on your own inner definition of success and then what happens when you're encountering other people who maybe are really living in a different value system or who, for example, money is genuinely something that they want and that seems to make them happy.
I'd say for me that, you know, I work my best, you know, and God knows I am far from perfect at this, but I work my best to allow other people to have their beliefs and have, you know, their view of life that they want to have, as long as it doesn't infringe upon my view. But there are people in my life, there are people that I've been very, very close to in my life, that as I've grown in certain directions and taken on new ideas on life and feel for me like that I've grown, like that it's growth, that I've expanded, that they've stuck where they are. And, you know, and it almost at times bothers them that I've moved in that direction and that now we have this different outlook on life. And I've literally, sometimes I've had to either get rid of those people altogether or just, you know, remove them from my presence or limit the amount of time that I'm with these people, because they may be people that I really respect and I really love, and I will always be grateful for some portion or some part of my life where they were really, really important, and I don't want to, you know, basically flip them the bird, but I can't be around them anymore. I can't be in that energy anymore. We've just grown in different directions. So I'm a big believer in live and let live. But for me, that doesn't mean that I have to have that person in my space.
Now, those are really interesting points. And when you asked that question, Carrie, it was interesting for me to think back, because 4 years ago, I think it was 4 years ago, I lose track of time now, because I was ridiculously type A, and everything had to line up A, B, C, D, E, F, G, or else watch out, you didn't want to be in my way. but I was coaching college softball, and I started to all of a sudden have this, like, you know, I was starting to really question this definition of success, because we were starting to be evaluated literally on that whole win-loss piece. It's why I can resonate that so well with athletes, and why we dig deep into it. Because that definition of success being, you know, was whether you won a game, you lost a game. It wasn't about, you know, the fact that, you helped someone do something, or, you know, all these different things. So I found myself, when I walked away from it, to having to define this, create this new definition of success for myself. Interestingly enough, I still think I'm working on that, because it seems like it continues to shift. When I, 4 years ago when I was there, it was okay, where do I go now? How do I do this? You know, all those kinds of things. Then went through, you know, the coaching program, found that, and you know, thought that was going to be, you know, create all the answers. And it was absolutely, you know, a tremendous piece. And what I discovered, I would say for me, for that definition of success, is learning to really, really get in touch with your who inside of you, because I had no idea who I was. The question was, you know, you'd meet somebody, and the question would be, you know, you introduce yourself, and what the first question would be, so what do you do? And I had realized I had defined myself by what I did, and so that was my definition of success was what I did, and so I've been, you know, going through this sort of like personal renaissance in regards to that definition of success seems to constantly be changing and being tweaked, but what I try to stay grounded with, and I work at it as best I can every day, is just sort of trying to stay inside and not be looking outside for validation, for, you know, the external things, the materialistic things, all that kind of stuff, and realizing that if it doesn't start with me inside first, then I can't be of any value. I have to be of value to myself first before I can be of any value to anyone outside of you. So that's where I've kind of come from, a place of that. But I think that whole definition of success is very, very individualistic, because for some people, it may be the materialistic things, and there's nothing wrong with that, because that's who and how they are. So I think that's one thing that's really important to point out as well, is that I don't think there can be any one single definition of success. I think we all have to go down the road to figure out what it is for each of us, and then also continually reevaluate it.
We have a caller.
All righty. Let's see here. We will caller that is on the line. If you are interested in speaking or asking a question, when I bring your mic up live, you can just let us know what you'd like to ask or comment. If you are calling in just to listen, then if we have some quiet time, then we'll just let we'll put you back on mute here. So here we go.
Hi.
Caller, is there a question? Hi.
Yes.
Can you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Bobby Anderson. I'm actually a pain management coach. I work with folks that are in chronic physical and or emotional pain. But the thing that intrigued me about listening to Super Soul Sunday this morning was how India RE became so in tune with what was going on with her body when she was going through her physical ailing in 2009. She talked about her throat disorders and how she was having digestion issues, and it's so, so related to how our body tries to give us messages and we don't listen. You know, the throats being sore, you know, you're not expressing, you're not seeing what your truths are, just as you folks were speaking of before on how, you know, we need to walk in integrity with what our true values are. And when we don't, that's when we're overtaken with some type of disease. When our body goes out of ease, it goes into disease. And I just thought that was so fascinating, that part of it, because it just came full circle with what, you know, I teach my clients. And I'm just, like, really enjoying listening to you guys. And that part of it resonated with me the most.
Well, Bobby, thanks so much for that comment. go ahead, Mandy.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, yeah, thank you for calling, because it's great. It's a great point you bring up, because one of my notes that I have written down is our bodies send us messages.
Absolutely. It's so, and people don't think in that respect, and it saddens me, because we get such messages from our body that we just disregard, or it's like, oh, it's just a bad day, or oh, I'll get over it, or oh, that pain will go away. Or what's even worse is when something else starts to hurt, and so it diminishes that initial pain. So all of a sudden, maybe the hip doesn't hurt, but the ankle does. It's not so much that the hip pain went away, it's just that the ankle is screaming louder. And this quiet time, you know, you talk about being quiet and the meditation, and the other part of her interview that I thought was so fascinating was when she said she finds the time to sit and pray and meditate for the answers, but the scary part is when you get the message. Then you're impelled and to follow that guidance, and that can be really scary too. So
well,
I
Bobby,
totally
that's exactly what came up for me when I was hearing your comment, actually, is that moment where she talked about, you know, hearing God's voice and having the courage to listen,
mm-hmm.
because
yes.
clarity can be so scary. I've had multiple clients tell me, you know, if I knew what I wanted, I might have to do something about it.
And you know what? That's exactly why so many people hide behind it. Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to jump in here because I think this is a good place for me to segue into this. And Bobby, stay on the line for a little while because, you know, I'd like to get you into this conversation. And I'm going to take a few minutes here. I wanted to jump off here because you guys talked into the prayer and the meditation, and you used the word God, and I have no problems with any of those terms. But I do know that a lot of people do. And I know, you know, even years ago when Oprah sort of started moving her own show, when she had, you know, her own show on the air, and she moved in sort of like she did into the spiritual world, her ratings dropped simply from talking about the word spiritual because people don't resonate with it, and especially don't resonate with it when they tie it to religion and or they tie it to a religion that's not their religion. And I kind of wanted to jump in here because, you know, the show really was about, if you go and you onto Oprah's website and you see it, it was about a spiritual awakening. And I think that what I want people to understand when we talk about spirit, even when you talk about soul, we're not talking religion here. We're not talking about a very specific, you know, idea of what a soul is or what your spirit is. But whether you're religious or whether you're not religious, you have an essence. You have an essence that gives you life. And that's what your spirit is. And the best way I can sort of describe it to you is, you know, back in 1989, one of my grandmothers had fallen in the street. She'd had a heart attack. And they'd taken her to the hospital. And they, you know, put her on all the machines. And, you know, she was... Technically, she was alive. She was breathing. This, you know, there was some brain functioning going on. Not a whole lot, but there were some things going on. And I can remember walking into the room and seeing her, and her eyes weren't completely closed. And I looked into her eyes, and there was something missing. You know, there that essence of life was not there. You can also go into, sometimes you can see they'll do these statues of people, or they do these sort of kind of latex, you know, statues of people for museums and things, and they from the back or from the side, they look like almost like real people until you look into their eyes and you see that something is missing. And when we talk about your spirit, that's the thing that we're talking about, is that essence of life that is not there, that is there and that's not there when you're not alive. And you know, and I think Eckhart Tolle talks about it as, it's the thing about you that stands behind and can sort of watch your thoughts. So it's not even your thoughts. It's the thing that sort of observes your thoughts. And anybody that's tried to meditate for the first time will know darn well what I'm talking about, because you're sitting there thinking, I'm supposed to be meditating, and all of a sudden your thoughts take over. And all you can sit there is something is sitting there going, you're thinking, you're thinking, you're thinking, you're thinking again, you're thinking again. That's sort of your spirit. And there was one thing that, you know, to sort of tie it back into the conversation, there was one thing that Oprah said about, and she called it the soul instead of the spirit at this time, that she said that I actually disagree with. And God, you know, I love my Oprah, but I'm disagreeing with this. She said to India, she said, your soul was sick. And I wanted to say to Oprah, I'm like, your soul's not sick. Your soul's never sick. You know, Oprah defined the soul. The voice of the soul is the voice of God, or the voice of the universe, or the voice of life, or the voice of that big connection. That's never sick. You know, it's your soul that is actually sending your body the messages saying you're not in alignment. And if you're not in alignment, as Bobby said, you're in dis-ease. You know, your soul's not sick. Your body may be, but your soul's never sick.
Well, Tim, you know, those are great points, and a couple pieces that, you know, tying it all together goes back to that instincts and following our instincts. It's following that voice that's inside us that we know is there. Well, I shouldn't say that we know is there. That is there that we need to learn to connect to. And you bringing up that whole piece about spirituality, absolutely, because if you had said the word spirituality to me 4 years ago, I would have, you know, eyes would have glazed over. I would have done the, you know, yeah. And to learn that spirituality isn't about so much, like you said, it's not about the organized religions and things. It's about finding that spirit within you and connecting to that something that's more, that's in you, but that's also then more than you. And trying to have those two pieces linked together because, you know, again, the voice and the guide is there if we can learn to listen to it and tap into it and trust it. I think trust is another really big piece that needs to go along with that because, you know, we treat people, other people better than we treat ourselves because I think a lot of times we just don't trust ourselves. We look for, that outside validation. So I think those are all really great points you guys are bringing up.
Yeah, and you know, Tim, I think it's interesting. I love hearing your take on the soul, and it's never sick. And you know, what comes up for me is sort of, I wonder if your soul, if it can't be sick, if it can maybe be squished or a little suffocated sometimes. And I think that sometimes what puts people into what a couple of you have referred to as dis-ease is that voice that we've been talking about, whether you call it God, whether you call it clarity, intuition, your gut, whatever it is, purpose, when that voice is not getting any air or any air time, since we're on the radio, it can maybe not make your soul sick, but make it squished, make it thirsty.
Well, I think that what happens is, and I actually have plans to do a whole show on this at some point in time, a show entitled The Ego versus the Soul. And for my understanding, and listen, folks, this is my understanding. I'm not asking anybody to, you know, buy into this or, you know, I'm not trying to sell anybody on anybody. My understanding is that the soul is really just a portion of the whole. You know, it's a little piece of the whole, and the whole can't experience anything if it's a whole, because if all there is all there is nothing else. So if all there is light, and you want to experience light, you can't experience it because there's nothing but light. It doesn't have any meaning. The ego is the tool that we use to sort of separate ourselves from the whole that allows us now to have darkness and every other duality that there is. So if you want to experience light, then now you've got the context of darkness to sort of compare it to, because your ego sort of blocks, it's sort of the veil that blocks you from your reality. And I think that my understanding, again, that the soul doesn't need anything. Its purpose is to experience life. The soul is life experiencing life. And, you know, it'll let the ego, the tool, do what it wants until the tool basically wears itself out and can't handle it anymore.
Bobby, is there anything more you'd like to share or jump in with all that your great point has brought up?
Well, I mildly agree with most of everything that you folks are saying. I think the thing that we all need to be very totally aware of is that it's all perception and all interpretation, and it's all our own. And I think that's what makes living on this earth plane so exciting, that everybody has their own interpretations. And whatever that life source is, whatever it is that we want to call it, because it's all the same energy, it's just labeled differently depending on what culture or religious background or spirituality training, intuitive listening that we do. And it's all okay, because it's all right for whoever is doing that interpretation. So it's fascinating to hear everybody's idea of that. The thing that excites me the most, and my final thought with this whole thing, is that one of the comments made on the show today was to keep that spiritual muscle exercised, that by trying to pick up a 50-pound weight on a muscle that hasn't been exercised when we get into a place of stress isn't the wisest option for us. And that brings me to the realization that I have made in these past few months that we are truly in a shifting point of our universe, which we are so blessed to be able to experience this. And I applaud and encourage everybody that gets on board with that shift, because it's going to make a huge difference when we become more right-brained versus left-brained and use our whole brain. So I embrace listening to the rest of your show, and you guys are doing a great job, and I've enjoyed. So thank you so much for allowing me to be on.
Well, and thank you for calling, and we're going to take a lot of what I'm sure you just shared with us and speak more about that. And again, thank you for calling in.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
So, does any of you want to speak to anything she just shared? Because I think she brought up some additional good points. And I think, again, there's just been so much great stuff here today. Carrie, is anything specific, maybe, or anything you'd like to just add on to what she said? Share?
Yeah, it's interesting, this idea of the spiritual muscles, and something that really kind of interested me about the show today was this idea of, how do you cultivate that sacred space of peace, as Indy Ari called it. So that's something I'd throw out to as a question in a second. But first, just this idea that even when we have found that practice or that space of peace within ourselves, it is hard to stay on course all the time, as they talked about. Oprah said the world pulls you in, right? Even when you have kind of had your mountaintop moment or your aha moment or your spiritual awakening, your click. But what I find really true is that when you have done the work of cultivating that space, Oprah talked about, you sometimes are tested, right? These things will come up. And sometimes that test is it's like a barometer for you to be able to see just how much has shifted for you, because when you've done that work, things still get you, things still trigger you, things still happen in your life. She called it a test, but the way that you experience those bumps in the road or those challenges or those trigger points is very different. Right? And as Indy already said, they don't undo you. So I'm curious for your take on that, and also for sort of this idea of cultivating that space of peace.
Neil Donald Walsh calls it the law of opposites, and he says when you declare something to the world, the opposite shows up in spades, because it's going to make you prove what you said you declared.
No,
can you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, okay,
well,
yeah, go ahead.
So
yeah,
if you were to say, I am, I got to think of a good example. I am a I am no longer ever going to eat badly again. You should be prepared to be invited to the chocolate show and and the dessert carts ready to come in front of you, and whatever it is, the, you know, you're the only choice you've got to eat at is the big buffet. You know, it's like, it's the universe is basically saying, okay, you've declared this, now prove it. Because just by, and I think that India said this, it's not just what you say, it's how you show up. Talk is cheap. You know, your
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I was going to say, and to add to that point, which exactly what you're saying is that, you know, the work we all do, we're coaches and we work with people on, you know, the personal development side and, you know, you do all these things and you do the work and it's great to do the work and like what we're talking about. It's then you have to go out there and apply what you've learned to then figure out where you still are because, you can sit with where you are and do the work and move to these different places, like you're just saying, but you're then going to be tested. And the test is going to show up, and it's going to probably challenge exactly what you've been doing the work on so that you can self-evaluate where you really are. Because just putting in the time and creating the awareness is ridiculously important, but then you have to get out there and apply it. And like you said, I'm going to eat better, and the next day you're at, you know, the buffet. You know, can you take what you're working on? Can you take what you're trying to apply or shift or change in yourself and then actually make it happen? Because I think that's where the real, you know, where the real growth comes in. It's not just saying it and conceptualizing it. It's being able to then apply it and live it.
And Mandy, you work with athletes. You know as well as anybody, resistance builds strength.
Absolutely right. You've got to. And yet at the same time, you've got the resistance that will build the strength. But you also got to be open to making the shifts that then maybe to do it differently, and you know, and all those kinds of things. So yeah, absolutely. And then you got to take that strength, and then can you then use it to have it take you to where you're trying to go? Just being strong doesn't mean it's going to get you to where you want to go. You've got to take it and then apply it.
Carrie, I interrupted you. Step into this.
Oh well, yeah, no, and I love that metaphor that you just brought up about resistance and building strength. So you know, I think this is where self-compassion and being able to kind of step back and hold the big picture are so important, because there's a moment for many, many people, and perhaps we've all experienced it, I know that I have, where you do a tremendous amount of transformational work, you have that click, you have that awakening, or whatever you call it, and then the next time you're tested, I've noticed that there can be this moment of, it's like the oh no moment, what if it was all fake? If I was so evolved as I thought I was, why am I falling apart now? You know, this comes up in relationship coaching or, you know, in relationship work where it's that breakup that you have after you've already gone through all of your relationships and you've had all of these discoveries and you've realized all these things about how you show up. And then there's this tendency, I think, for people to have that panic moment of, oh no, I'm back at ground zero. What if I haven't actually evolved? What if I haven't actually gotten anywhere? And we can hold so tightly to our awakening moment. We're so frightened of that being proved to be wrong or proved to be, you know, temporary. So I think it takes a lot of self-compassion and a lot of that ability to kind of step back and look at it as a journey. It's a big picture journey. It's not an arrival point, right? Your volcano moment, to use NDRE, it might be a very big shift, but it's not the only shift you're going to experience in your life. And having those tests come up does not mean that shift didn't happen, right? It just means that you're ready to show up and experience it in a different way.
I think that, you know, what people get confused at, and you know, and society doesn't help at all, but we're never done. This journey is never done. There's always something greater to become, and that doesn't mean that you're not great already and that you know that there's anything that even needs to be fixed in essence. It's a matter of that no matter where you are, there's always something bigger that you can build upon. And I think it's exactly what you were talking about, Carrie, is that, you know, this is a journey. There's that old saying that life is not a destination, it's a journey. And it is a journey because no matter when you get to the mountaintop, you can look across and then there's another mountain.
Mm-hmm. And the universe is laughing at you. You're like, oh, you thought you were done, huh? You're ready to camp out on top of that mountain.
And those are such great points because it's that, and I know it got talked about on the show, but it's that feeling of we're reaching for something. We're searching for something. We're traveling to somewhere. And it's like what you're just saying. We you think you've gotten to the mountaintop, and then you realize, well, wait a minute, there's, you know, five more out there in front of me. And I think that's where the disconnect comes for a lot of people is the if only when I get this, if only when I finish school, I'll be able to do that. It's as if we're constantly putting that something that, you know, in quotes, that something out in front of us that we're constantly searching for, striving for, thinking we need to get to in order to then have the fulfillment, have the happiness, have the, you know, all those things that you can throw in there, because we need to have that something in order to, you know, be in the place we think we're supposed to be, and yet we have all these moments and lessons and learnings flying right by us, and we miss where we are, and you know, and probably not to say screw things up, because like you talked about the self-compassion and stuff like that, but we're constantly beating ourselves up because there's supposed to be somewhere else or something else we're supposed to be getting to.
And I think that overwhelms a lot of people, the idea that we're never done. But in reality, it's our saving grace. It means there's no time limit on when we have to be done by.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And you know, there's
go ahead,
there's a quote that I'm going to misquote here from Thich Nhat Hanh, where he talks about that shift from I have arrived to I am constantly arriving, right? I'm always arriving, so that we're always arriving anew, rather than we're striving outside of ourselves to get to that point where we can say I'm here, I'm done. What
Absolutely.
A beautiful reframe, Tim, to make that, to look at that as a freeing thing rather than a scary thing, right?
And it's also putting expectations on things. You know, it's we put an expectation on, like you just said, you know, it's not about the, you know, arriving to a spot or a place or a thing, but we put an expectation on what, again, something is going to mean for us, instead of realizing that just let it be, and it doesn't have to mean more or less, it just is.
You know, they say if a shark stops moving, it dies. You know, if you're done, you're dead.
Something that strikes me as interesting, you know, about this conversation in light of talking about a musician or really anybody in the public eye, is that celebrities, people who are in the public eye, experience a lot of pressure to be showing up as, you know, powerful, invincible, everybody's always watching. And what I've noticed is that, and there's so much talk about vulnerability these days, it's a really hot button word. Those leaders, those, you know, thought leaders or powerful people, however we want to quantify that, who own their vulnerability and who are vulnerable enough to talk about still being on that journey, tend to be the ones who inspire me the most, right? So Brené Brown talks about this a lot, that invulnerability is connection and such potential for people to feel connected and feel a sense of relatability. And I think that it's interesting to think about when we're going through these journeys, somebody like Indy Ari, she's doing it so publicly that it takes an extraordinary amount of courage to be able to talk about not being done, right? Still being on that journey, still being vulnerable, still struggling with these things.
Absolutely, and I have to give you a shout out, Carrie, because you just mentioned my new favorite person, Brené Brown. You know, I've just been doing a lot of, reading a lot of stuff about her, you know, why she's been on Oprah's Super Soul Sunday. But, you know, as soon as you say the word vulnerability now, that's the, you know, Brene Brown pops into my head. And been learning a lot about it. So, you know, thank you for bringing her up because
she's my new
favorite person out there. So, you know, I hear her name, I just smile. So, but I think, you know, but again, it is, it's a great point when we talk about the artists and stuff, and athletes run into it all the time. It's almost like sometimes being blessed with talent can be, you know, instead of seen as a blessing, it is a curse, because when you're talented and you've been given something, you know, maybe a little more gifted than the average person, there is that sense of, well, now you have to go out there and prove it all the time. And yet they are human beings just as well. Just because they can do something maybe a little bit better from a skill set, from a natural talent set than someone else, doesn't change the fact that, you know, deep in their core, they're just like everyone else. And I think that's part of what she talked about today, was the struggles with, you know, with that having the fame, having the talent, and yet going through all the same struggles that so many people face on a daily basis.
It's so easy for us to elevate people to the level of superhuman, right?
I think that's why we like to build people up and tear them down. I mean, we see in them the greatness that we see or we wish for ourselves, and then when they reached what we've decided that it is, then we sort of go into that place like, well, wait a second, you can't be all that great. And we sort of tear them down because now we see in them the vulnerabilities and the, you know, sort of the chinks in the armor that we feel about ourselves. And I think that's part of the reason there's all this big cycle of building somebody up and then tearing them down and then building them back up and then tearing them down. We kind of do it to ourselves, I think, too.
Well, and not that we could really ever get into this right now, but that point you just made is being so highlighted right now with the whole Paula Deen thing. I mean, you know, talk about somebody who's been built up and now is being torn down, you know, because we certainly don't have any time to get into the points behind what is happening. But you talk about someone who has been put on a pedestal, and she's human, and now, you know, now she's being torn down. And that's, I think, what we have to be mindful of when Bobby mentioned about, you know, the kind of like the spiritual awakening piece there, or that the, you know, the shift that we're going through is we have to watch out for exactly doing those kinds of things, building people up to put them in such a place where a mistake, a slip of a tongue or something like that can absolutely, you know, devastate your whole being.
Yeah, and I think that we need to realize that just as life is cyclical, like the seasons, like, you know, day and night, the whole nine yards, so is our lives. And there are going to be times when we're up, and there are going to be times when we're not so up. And, you know, and we need to be a little more forgiving of that and let people, you know, let people make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And we all hope, I would think, that as we're making a mistake, that somebody's going to be there to be forgiving of us, to allow us to move forward. And I don't think as a society we do that so well.
And Tim, what you just said, that someone will be there to help us move forward. One of the things that really, in that last segment where Oprah just asked her to sort of define or fill in the blanks, when she was asked what prayer was, Indiari said, if prayer is a place you can go where you'll always be heard. And it really struck me how, whether or not prayer is something that resonates with you, how important it is for all of us to have some place to go where we'll always be heard. Whether
and not
that's
judged.
In the form of prayer or, you know, friendship or a coach or whoever it is. That we all need that. We all need to know, and absolutely, you just said, and not judge. We need a non-judgmental place where we can be, and we have permission to be just as we are and not maybe as we would like to be.
And I think one piece with that, too, because looking back at some of my notes, and it connects to what you're talking about, is making sure we're not giving our power away. You know, don't give your power away outside, and that when you are needing that connection, like we're talking about and you just referenced, that's making sure that you stay connected to the power within inside of you, and that when you then do need that little bit of reassurance, or what, like yelling it to prayer, or to a friend, or it's meditation, or wherever it is, that you reconnect to that power inside of you.
Well, we decided.
Go ahead, Tim.
I talked about the fact that we have all the time in the world, except for we're about out of time.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I was going to say, Jesus, looking at the clock here, and it's running away from us very, very quickly, and it's amazing how fast this hour always goes. So in that, though, if we each take just a quick moment, if we want to say a last little bit, remind everybody how they can reach us afterwards, and then I'm just going to let the listeners know of our upcoming shows, and before you know it, it's going to be a wrap. So, Terry, why don't we start with you now, and just maybe give us a final thought, and just how people can get in touch with you afterwards.
Sure. So, you know, I think that we actually sort of organically ended in a kind of cool place, but, you know, when everything you're scared of happening happens, that's an opportunity for you to have some of these clicks and transformations that we've talked about. But all along the way, it's so important to be self-compassionate with ourselves and to have that that safe space to be just as we are, because we're enough just the way we are, even as we're constantly moving forward. And I hope that people will stay connected and share your thoughts about this topic, and all my 30-somethings out there, or anything-somethings who feel so inclined, you can reach me and sign up for tips and tools and all kinds of things on my website at carriespaulding.com. It's CarrieSpaulding.com. And you can also connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/the30somethingcoach, 30-something written out, no numbers, no spaces, and follow me on Twitter at Spaulding Carry. And I hope you'll tune in for a very special show this Friday, July 5th at 12 noon Eastern, to listen to my show Declaring Interdependence. We're going to be discussing interdependence and partnerships and friendships, families, relationships, and dating. And you're going to learn about some of the common blocks to embracing and living in healthy interdependence. And we're going to talk about how to cultivate an interdependent mindset and improve your own relationships. So I hope that I will have some of you listening in on that call, and maybe even calling in with your own thoughts.
Well, great. That's great. Great information sharing with us, and thank you today. And Tim, how about yourself?
I guess really quickly, my last thoughts would be, what I want people to take away from all of this is that, as hard as it can be, sometimes we just need to relax. And what I mean is relax and realize that, you know, and they said this several times on the show, everything ultimately is going to be okay. You know, when it's all said and done, it's all going to be okay. And, you know, we go through hard times in life, every single one of us. The three of us included, there is nobody that does not go through some sort of adversity in life. But those things serve you a purpose, and they often are the greatest moments to foster growth in all of us. And, you know, we don't have to like them. We just have to remember that and go through with them and always try and find what are we supposed to be getting out of these situations. You can reach me on my website, which is DIYforYourSoul.com. You can email me at info@DIYForYourSoul.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Tim Billiter. And that's how I can be reached.
Well, great, and thank you for sharing all that. And I have to say, I'll just very quickly sum up behind you, because one of the piece for me was going to be just that it's always, they quoted it, always, always going to be all right. And if you can just really connect to that and believe that, tomorrow will come, and you can get yourself there, and you can start over again tomorrow if today doesn't feel like it's what you wanted it to be. So that was, I think, the last piece to take away from me. And I can be reached, again, I'm Mandy Rosniak at Inner Winning Coaching, and my website is coachmandy.com, and you can also reach me via email at Mandy at coachmandy.com, and also on Facebook as well at Inner Winning Coaching. and just like to promote a couple of shows we have coming up here. We have tomorrow, which is already July 1st. I can't believe it's going so quickly, but July 1st, tomorrow at 8 p.m., it is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen. And then on Tuesday, July 2nd at 8 p.m., we have New You City Coach. Let me start that over. New You City Coach Chat with Danielle Mercurio, and that's July 2nd at 8 p.m. And then on Thursday, July 4th at 3 p.m., we have David Benjamin Citron, Transform Your Life in 30 Minutes. And so those are some great shows coming up. And then as you heard, Carrie will be on Friday, July 5th. And also just one last note, we have some very exciting news to also share with our audience that Life Coach Radio Network is now available on iTunes Podcast. So please check us out on iTunes as well, and you can download our episodes and listen to them on the go. So thank you, everyone, for listening. And I want to thank my co-host today. I thought it was a fabulous show. And for Bobby calling in, that was a great show. She brought up some great discussion. And, again, have a happy July 4th. And for everyone out there, celebrate safely and take care.